All right, we're 1 minute past. We got a few more coming in, but we might as well begin. A lot coming in. So welcome to our biweekly KISSA Zoom roundtable. Thank you all for attending. These calls are member benefits, and we appreciate your membership. So thank you very much for continuing to support. Sorry, I got a lot of people coming in here to continue to support KISSA. I'd like to point out that early indication for this year is that it is going to be epic for cross country, at least for the cross country industry. Additionally, this is shaping up to be a La Nina weather pattern, bringing good snow to much of the country, in Canada. So we're very excited for that. Please remember that next Tuesday we have our fall, the KISSA fall meeting. It is a Zoom meeting from 1 to 4 o'clock Eastern time. We'd love it, all of you to attend. It does come with a $20 cost, but it will be well worth it. We will not be, we'll be top lining what we've done in our Zoom calls over the summer, but we will not concentrate entirely on that since we've spent plenty of time there. For today, as our industry approaches the beginning of winter and the areas prepare for opening, our thoughts turn to what if. And our COVID board discussed this a lot last week when we were putting together this this topic. It's a little different than what we've been doing previously. All indications are that there will be a significant increase in skiers this year, both in the backcountry and at our groomed ski resorts. So super exciting time for cross country. But it definitely comes with a couple potential issues. And that's what we want to talk about today. Today's call will focus on the opportunity and the potential pitfalls. Our panelists will discuss key changes that they have made to their operating procedures for selling day tickets, how to handle season pass, holders, and how to provide safe passage through rentals. Our panelists will also discuss contingency plans for a couple potential crises, so many people that we can't control the flow or sickness within staff, and a few others. We definitely encourage everyone to use the chat button. We'd love to hear your thoughts also. Our panelists are awesome, but I'm sure many of you have some great ideas, so please feel free to type away there. Other than that, please keep your mic muted unless you are talking. And with that, let me introduce our panelists. We have Richard Hodges from North Director from White Pine Touring in Utah. We have Mike Hussey, General Manager of the Reichert Nordic and Middlebury Snowball in Vermont. We have Brittany Perkins, Program Director from Crested Butte Nordic. In Colorado, and then we have Nick Mahood, Nordic Center and Recreational Trails Director for Woodstock Nordic. Richard, let me start with you. And certainly, we've had a lot of conversations over the summer and fall. What are the key, if you were to pick out the key changes that you are making to your operating procedures, specifically day tickets, season pass, and rentals? Can you top line those briefly for us?
Sure. Thanks, Reese. And it's good to be back talking about this stuff. We're 11 days from move in at the Nordic Center right now. So after this, I have a meeting with the city permits to finalize our external structure for rentals. So anyway, key things we've done for day passes this year. We're not going to do a whole lot of changes. We're reducing the touch points for people to buy passes and kind of dedicating a portion of the counter for quick and out the door day pass sales. We definitely want people to come in the shop, but we just don't necessarily want them to, spend a great deal of time at the counter. They're more than happy to look at the new skis and clothes and everything, but, we want to get them outside and get them going safely, as quickly and efficiently as we can. In terms of season pass holders, this year we have sold and distributed over 300 season passes already, just in the last month. I'm fortunate that we have another location where we can have people come in and get their pictures taken and pick up their passes and be ready to go before the Nordic Center opens. So that is a huge number of people that won't be coming in the first week of December wanting their photographs taken, filling out paperwork, doing all that kind of stuff. And so that is probably, you know, a third of what we're going to do for season pass sales are already distributed and in the hands of customers. And that has been huge, both in terms of preseason revenue, but more importantly, in managing our time and staff resources when it starts snowing. So, and in terms of rentals, we're going to do boot fitting inside the shop and equipment, poles and skis and customer backpack storage, if you will, outside in an external structure. So the idea is to, for the thing that takes time, which is making sure that boot fits, getting more space, limiting, you know, managing the number of people that pass through there, and then getting them outside and getting their equipment and out on the snow. So everything is designed to encourage people to come into the shop, but discourage them from spending a great deal of time at any one specific location, for lack of a better way to describe it, and getting people outside and on the trails. And just, you know, really quickly, we're going to do, on most of our trails, do alternate day directional travel on the loop trails, and, you know, specific directional travel on the ones that need to be specifically directional. So the whole concept for us is get going and move them out, get them outside.
Richard, are you doing any reservation system for either trail passes or?
We do. We have an online system where people can go to our website, and we have a surprisingly large number of, you know, day rentals and lessons and tours, snowshoeing and backcountry ski tours already booked up. I suspect that by, you know, 11 days when we open, almost all of December will be booked up for tours. So it's going to be really interesting looking at probably bringing on a couple of new guides and working through certifications and things like that for them right now.
So the people that reserve online, they then have to show up at your store, you know, and come inside and check in or something.
Yeah. They come inside the store, you know, we look them up, check them in, make sure the waivers are all, you know, clean and signed. And then if it's a guided tour, they will meet their guide at the shop, but then travel independently to wherever their destination is for the day or for the afternoon. And in terms of lessons, it's the same thing. It's like, get in, make sure paperwork, liability forms, everything's signed up, buy that new pair of gloves that you forgot to bring with you, get geared up, and then get outside with your guide or instructor. So it's we've been doing walkthroughs with staff to like identify sticky points along the process, and I think we've got a pretty good handle on making sure that movement will be kind of clean and effective in getting people out the door.
So your 300 season passes that have been sold, is that number up, stagnant? How does that compare with previous years?
For preseason, it's astronomically up. Traditionally, we've sold the passes online and then have people pick them up in the shop when we open, which means every one of those transactions is come in, you know, check your reservation, sign the form, stand for your picture, print it out, punch a hole in it. Here it is, go. And being able to do that many passes beforehand, each one of those is a 5 to 10 minute transaction at the counter. And every one of those has taken place so far, you know, at the other store in a very casual, convenient, low stress environment. So it's the first time in ever that we've done that in, you know, 30 plus years of operations of the Nordic Center, and it's going great.
So, okay, your season pass sales are up. I think a few weeks back you mentioned lessons. Anecdotally, are you seeing a lot more interest in what's happening at the Cross Country Center? Are you fielding more emails, more phone calls, more purchases? I guess you are.
Yeah.
More purchases.
We've been getting a ton of emails in through our experts line. But at the other shop, we moved some of the Nordic gear in early, some of the early arrival gear in, and we've sold 30 ski sets already. I've got inventory coming in 2 weeks, and I have to pull boots out of the warehouse inventory that have already been sold to give to customers. The touring stuff has been just flying off the shelves, super expensive packages for AT and backcountry stuff. People are coming in brand new, buying skis, bindings, boots, clothes, shovels, beacons, multi-thousand dollar transactions. And some of the supply for, say, boots is already starting to get thin. It really hasn't snowed to speak of yet.
Right, right. So what are you concerned about this year? What's keeping you up at night as you look forward to the season?
I was up all night last night. The big things are going to be staff health and safety. I sent another message out this morning to all the staff about health procedures, sick time, taking care of families, taking care of yourselves. You don't want to be the place where an employee comes in and infects the other employees. The risk to the customers is fairly low, if you will, but the risk for employees is much higher because we're going to be spending a lot more time with each other. And, we're going to clean hands, masks, the whole thing. But if the basic marching orders are, if you're sick, don't come in. We will figure it out. It's just skiing. It's just playing on the snow and be healthy. And if you're not healthy, don't come in. I'm lucky to have an HR department person. And we have procedures in for testing and tracing if we need to. So, that's the biggest one, is keeping the staff safe. If we can keep the staff safe, the customers will be fine.
Do you have any contingency for just a quantity of people showing up on a daily basis that is beyond what you normally could handle?
The biggest thing will be in managing flow into the shop. Right now, we're under super duper red conditions, which means we're at 10 people in the building at a time. And we do have a kind of an external hallway where we can stage people waiting to get in if it gets busy. And, that people will just have to wait a few minutes. It will actually be safer and faster for them managing the flow into and out of the shop than, than just kind of having it happen at random. And almost all travel will be directional through the store, in one door, out the other. It's going to work out, I hope.
All right. Richard, thank you. Let's move to Vermont. And Mike, let's go to you, Mike Hussey from Reichert Nordic. I guess I want to kind of go through the same questions. And I know from our conversation last week, you're doing things a little differently. So can you talk about kind of your morning procedure? What will your guests need to do as they arrive, specifically around your day tickets, handling or managing your season pass holders when they show up, and then also rentals? Unmute, Mike.
How's that?
Yep.
All right. I love Richard's enthusiasm. That's awesome. Interestingly, the Vermont State Ski Area Guidelines just came out yesterday. It was announced by the governor's panel or people. And they're fairly restrictive in some bunch of ways. You know, one of the things that we are mandated to do is to contact trace all of our customers. Our operating plan actually fits into this pretty well because we had planned to do reservations for everybody coming on property. So anybody with a season pass or buying a day ticket will be checked in in the parking lot as you park. And no reservation, you know, you're not allowed to park, and so you'll need that reservation to get in the door. So all of our products, all of our ticketing products are online, and all of our sales pieces are online. Rentals, ski school, etc., is all going to be an online sale. We don't have a ticket window this year. If you're coming and you're going to ski, you're going to have purchased online. So that's extremely different for us. And it'll be really interesting to see how the customers integrate to that. I'm sure there's going to be some fairly massive hiccups at the beginning. The preseason sales for passes has been working reasonably well. Generally, is what Richard had described, where somebody comes in, pays for their pass, stands for a picture. You know, we build the pass, punch the hole in it, give it to them, smile and handshake, whatever it might be, and out they go. This year, there's and it's a process that the customer looks forward to every year. A lot of times, you know, it's, hey, I'm coming in to get my pass. Hey, great. And so this year will be quite a different feel. And one of the fears is you were asking about is that we lose some of that customer interaction that we've had such great success with over the years. So that's the backside of what we're doing right now.
So you mentioned that everyone will need a reservation to come on site. How are you going to staff up for that? Because that's got to be a somewhat significant increase in staff in positions you've never had before. Plus, you'll need to deal with that person who doesn't have a reservation. What do you do with them?
Yeah, so fear two is staffing, right? So some of you may know, most of you probably don't, Reichert Nordic Center is owned by Middlebury College. And the state's ski area guidance is fairly restrictive. The Middlebury College guidance is even more restrictive. And Middlebury College will not be open to the students between November 20th and February 27th. So there's a whole bunch of dining staff who need something to do. So I think we're going to end up with some dining staff folks that are going to fill in some of these holes. Probably not all of them, but at least some of them, the person checking in reservations at the gate. It's certainly not an ideal situation, but it's what we've got, what we're going to be working with.
Is that a directive from the college to have reservation only?
No, not necessarily. It's a way that we can handle both at the Nordic Center and Alpine Center the directive to contact trace everybody on property. Gotcha. We work with Liftopia, and they have a reservation system already built. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're adapting to their system, and all indications early on is that it's going to work reasonably well. We're pretty I'm pretty excited about it.
We did have a question from Bjorn. I think Richard has answered it on procedure for online passes. So thank you, Richard. Bjorn, if you need more clarification, let us know. Mike, you mentioned people are not coming inside. So what will happen to your retail sales? I know that hasn't been a huge part for you.
Our retail sales are, thankfully for this year, we have very limited retail. It's not a big piece of what we do. I know some of you guys out there, I mean, it can be up to 30-40% of your revenues. And so we don't have that issue. We are going to use the lodge for bathrooms and for boot fitting for rental boots. And that'll be it.
Are you expanding your rental into that upstairs space? Are you utilizing more space? No.
No, we'd like to. There's some logistical problems with that. So we're gonna boot up in the downstairs where we have opened up some space that the customers aren't gonna be coming in to sit by the fire. We're gonna open that space up, and then we will bring the skis out and the skis and poles out to them outside and put them on a ski rack.
So they'll put their boots on, then they'll go outside, and then you'll bring their skis out.
Yeah. Yes.
What so your plan is quite a dramatic change from last year. How are you communicating that to your guests? I know when you click on your website, that's the first thing that pops up. But what else are you doing to that? I'm thinking especially for your locals who may not check your website because they know it all.
Yeah, right. we need to reach out through the paper and social media, word of mouth, any way we can, and really hammer home the concept of reservations. Because, you know, if you don't have a reservations, you're not going to be allowed on the property. We do have good Wi-Fi right at the entrance, the entry to the property. So Liftopia is real time, so they can actually make a reservation sitting in the car, and that will pop up for us, and then we can let them in. But they're going to need that reservation to get through the gate.
So will your people, your parking lot people, have like iPads that they're working off of? How will they?
Yeah, it'd be some method of that. We haven't really drilled down on that too far yet. So we're whether it's a printed sheet that gets updated from the basically the office, or if it's some sort of iPad, or I think we gotta detail that a little bit.
Okay. So what's keeping you up at night? Like what are your biggest concerns coming into the season now?
Yeah, I think it's probably labor. We're gonna be thin. Nice thing is, so it's very unlikely that we're going to have any events at either of our ski areas this year. And, you know, the events is what drives us in our snowmaking predominantly. So our snowmaking efforts will not have to be quite as extreme as they have in the past. So that will allow us to reallocate some of our staff. But we're finding, you know, with some reductions at Middlebury in terms of the labor that we're allowed, the part-time labor that we're allowed to bring on, and actually the availability of folks locally, the staffing is tight. That's good. That's most of the other stuff is washed over the dam at this point. Now that the state regs are out and the colleges has allowed for some decision making. So that stuff's kind of gone by, which is good.
How about lessons? What's your plan there?
We're going to do lessons. We'll do private lessons as much as possible, small group lessons at Rikert. We do a considerable amount of school groups typically in the winter. And that's looking like it's not going to happen at all, mostly from the school side, from transportation and issues from COVID issues from the schools. So I think we're going to be predominantly private lessons and small groups.
Gotcha. Okay. thanks, Mike. I'm sure we'll come back with future questions. We'll go to Brittany now from Crested Butte. And Brittany, your operation, I know you've got an incredibly small building. And so that's been certainly a conversation piece that we've been talking about all summer. Can you, and I know you guys have gone through some pretty significant operational changes that you're in charge of. Can you share with us kind of what you're doing for your day tickets, for handling your season passes, both sales and physically giving it to them? and then also your rental process.
Yes. So our, like you said, our building is small, so it is not going to be open at all this winter, which is our number one change. Everything is online. Everything that we do can be booked online now. So our plan is to have like a pickup window where folks who have bought day passes or rentals online or reserved rentals online can just come to this pickup window and we will give them their stuff. And then a second window for lengthier interactions. So basically the public's completely outside. For season passes, we have sold a lot already. And we ask people to upload photos with their pass purchase. So we are mailing passes to people so that they don't have to come here. And rentals, we are trying out this new rental software that we have never used before, but people can reserve rentals online and it keeps track of our inventory for us. And then basically it's curbside pickup. Like they'll come and pick up their rentals outside.
So you've got one window for ticket sales. What if
For like, for just like pickups, quick pickups, like picking up a day pass, picking up a rental, whatever, dropping off skis for service, just like fast. I already did my stuff online. And then the second window is like, I don't know how to use your rental system. Help me, walk me through it.
Right. Will that one window for quick pickups actually accommodate your people, do you think?
Yeah. We're generally pretty small. I'm sure we'll get a little bit of a line, but it will be really quick because everything will be done. It's just a handoff.
You guys, I believe, had a plan for siloing your employees so that there wasn't a lot of cross interaction from, say, the grooming department to the ski school to the rentals. Can you speak a little bit to that? And are you planning on keeping that kind of situation going?
We're trying, but a lot of our employees are in several of those silos, so it's difficult in practice, we're finding, to keep everyone separate. So what we've done is generally tried to silo people, and we're all wearing masks and all have like our own little space that we work in generally. But then those employees that are instructors and coaches and groomers or whatever, obviously they are jumping around, but we're just doing what we can, wearing masks, cleaning, and doing health checks daily.
What is your rental platform that you're using?
We're using Giro.
Giro, okay.
Yeah, Gearo.
Okay. Aside from your season pass sales, are you, you know, anecdotally, what kind of indicators are you seeing about what the season is going to look like in terms of skier traffic, et cetera?
I think just the volume of emails and calls that we've received already, and we got an inch or two of snow last week, and people were like, "Are you grooming?" Everyone is ready, and everyone wants to ski, and we're just hearing from so many people about coming here and skiing and what they can do. And it's all much more than usual.
Right. So what is your biggest fear for this coming season? I mean,
I think like Richard said, keeping our employees healthy. And then what keeps me up is this rental system, because we have no idea if it's going to work, but we're going for it. It should be fine, but maybe not great, but we're just going to do what we can.
Do you have potential staffing issues at in Crested Butte? I mean, how are you looking there?
We're actually looking really good. We have more people than ever that we're employing this year in preparation to be busier. And then we've got some people waiting in the wings in case we freak out and are like, oh, we need more. There's a lot of people here looking for work. So that's great for us.
And are they natives or are they coming in for the winter?
Kind of both. A lot of people moved here from the cities if they could and work remotely or whatever and just like want something to do out of their house or are trying to move here from a city to get away from COVID, but not that we don't have it. we do. But yeah, I don't know, just a mix, I'd say.
Right. Have you thought through any contingency plans? Like what if you're inundated in that one window for quick items just is not enough?
Yeah, I think we we have more windows. We'll just open more like front desk positions for people to come up to. We'll just open more windows.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and we're anticipating being very, very busy, but we're only so big. Like on a regular year, we run out of all of our rentals on a busy day, and we just can't get any busier than that. Like once we're out of rentals, that's it, you know? We're so small that that's like a reality for us. So I think that we got a lot more rentals than usual in this year to try to accommodate more people, but we're still going to just run out at some point every day and then that's it.
And how about lessons? Have you brought in additional instructors? Do you think some of those new people to town have been some of those guys that have been purchasing new gear and now need to figure out how to use it?
Yeah, I think so. We haven't opened lesson registrations yet, but we expanded our offerings and we only ever do private lessons. So that's easy COVID wise. But we did hire a lot more instructors in preparation for those to be pretty busy.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. And what about last question? What about contact tracing for that person who is, so you mentioned you're pushing everybody, but what if somebody doesn't purchase online? They show up in the window with cash. What will you do there?
So that's what the longer transaction window is for. We can do everything in person still through that window. We're just trying to encourage people to go online and have it done beforehand because it's faster for them. They don't have to stand outside as long, but we can do everything in person still.
But will you take their name and contact information of everyone that shows up?
Yes. Yeah. We do have that for
and
everyone.
You have a system for that at that window? If someone comes in with cash or is it just paper?
No, we have iPads for all the windows. So they'll get put into our system and we'll have all their info.
Right. Great way to build up. Build up your mailing list too.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Brittany, thank you. Let's move to Nick at Woodstock, also in Vermont. And what talk us through your operating procedure again around ticket sales, redemption of season passes, and how they'll use them, and then also rentals, and then we'll get into some of the new restrictions that Vermont just threw at you.
Sure. So I think that the biggest change for us this year is we're moving into a much larger footprint, essentially occupying the entire building that we've been in before. Previously, we've just sort of been pigeonholed into the basement a little bit and a few extra spaces on the ground floor. So this year we'll be able to use the entire building, including some outside deck space, which is going to kind of allow us to operate, ideally business as sort of usual in that space. And we have a capacity, indoor capacity of 75 people now upstairs and like 20 some downstairs. So that will allow us, I think, to just flow through, unless numbers are just astronomically different than previous years, that will allow us to flow through the needed number of people we are anticipating, I guess, if you will. We've split that up. So if you just need a day ticket, you're going downstairs. If you need a day ticket and rentals, you will go upstairs. The rental process, much like what Richard's doing, you're going to get your boots fitted and on inside, and then you will go outside to get your ski gear. If you're getting snowshoes, you'll get your ticket and go outside to get your snowshoes. So I think that's a big change for us. We're going to spread out our rental, our retail gear between the two floors. So ideally, like, retail sales for us are a very large part of our business. They're pushing like a third of it. So that's something we can't take a hit on. So hopefully spreading that out between the two floors will continue to allow people to purchase those impulse buy items. The third thing that we're doing for ticket sales and rentals is we opened a new activity center concierge at the resort. We're part of a large resort that's right on property. The Nordic Center is about a half a mile off of property. So this concierge will allow, we'll be able to have guests purchase day passes there. They'll be able to pick up rentals and take them there. They'll be able to get fitted for rentals and book lessons there as well. So I think that will spread out even more where the people have opportunities to purchase. There's also going to be a small selection of retail items there to further make sure we try to capture all of that.
How will that group that's purchasing at the outdoor center? I understand they'll get probably a ticket there, but if they need rentals, how will you alert the main operation that these guys are coming?
If they let's say they come in on a Friday night and they say we want to go skiing tomorrow morning, we can try on we can size up them up for all the gear Friday night and send that information over to the Nordic Center. We did that in previous years with like a ski and stay package. They would fill out their information when they checked in at the front desk. Specifically how it's going to go over, we're hashing that out in the next couple weeks. We're in a position where essentially I have no staff on yet. My staff will start onboarding next week. So some of this stuff we're going to be scrambling and rolling out a lot of this as staff on board. I'm the only Nordic Center employee that is year round. I think we have plenty of time to make these decisions, but we're gonna have to rally and make some decisions pretty quick.
So, what are you doing for your season pass holders? I know in the past they would come in, like, you know, as I think Mike alluded to, people really enjoy picking up their season passes. I know you've said the same in the past. What's happening with that procedure?
So two things. We did open up season pass sales in September, which has never happened before. Usually it's been early November. This is season pass sales for both our Alpine area and the Nordic Center. We've sold probably 25% of what we would normally sell in a year already. We don't really have like a apples to apples comparison, but I would say that's a really good indication that pass sales will probably be up. So those passes have been printed. We gave the people basically the opportunity to upload a photo with that, or if they've had a season pass with us before, they could just use previous year's season pass photos. Those have been printed and people can pick them up. They will pick them up in person, at our ticket office out at the downhill ski area. And then once we open the Nordic Center, we will still do in-person season pass sales. Most of our pass holders seem to like to wait until as close as possible to the season before purchasing their passes. The online sales will continue, so I anticipate what kind of that'll kind of ramp up to here.
So the state of Vermont has dictated now that you must collect information for contact tracing. How will you do that? How will you do that daily? And how will you also do that for your season pass holders to know that, you know, John was there today and not yesterday type of thing?
Sure. So, yeah, as Mike mentioned, this just came down from the state, and it is a very comprehensive plan on how ski areas, Alpine and Nordic, need to operate. And there's maybe a little wiggle room within that, but there's not a lot of wiggle room. One of the items is we need to have a record of everybody that's on property, both out on the trails and in the lodge. So that's kind of easy, right? With a day ticket sale, we capture that when they purchase the day ticket or rental or both. With the season pass holders, especially if we don't want them to come into the lodge, and we also have multiple trailheads where they could enter the trails, some not even close to the lodge. The plan right now is to work on some sort of online basically sign in that they will have to, ideally they have to do it, they could do it weekly. So they could sign in for a couple of days per week. Worst case scenario, I guess we end up with something where they have to actually do it every single day. But our hope is to have something where they could, if they know they're going to ski Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they can sign in for Monday, Wednesday, Friday on Sunday night, and then they don't have to think about it the rest of the week.
I thought I heard that in Vermont, you also have to ask everyone a variety of questions, health questions. Is that true?
Mike might be able to better jump in and answer that, but I believe that is true. We are doing health screening when they enter the lodge. So there'll be a temperature kiosk, and you'll have to answer the select standard kind of health-related questions. To when they sign in to go, the pass holder signs in. At that point, they're also going to have to attest that they're meeting the state travel guidelines.
Right. Mike, do you have anything to add on that?
Yes, our staff all needs to check in with the health questions. And the ski school also needs to ask folks and take temperatures of their students. But the attestation of the pass holder and the ticket buyer is done online, that they meet the guidelines, the state guidelines, and that they're not feeling ill.
Okay, so sticking with Nick, you mentioned that you're selling season passes now. Anecdotally, have you seen, I think you have seen, significant increase in interest, and where are you seeing that coming from?
I mean, like I said, I think our pass sale numbers are up, and that definitely reflects an increased interest. As everybody sort of mentioned, you know, emails, phone calls, we've booked out some of our Christmas week guided activities already. We're renting. We only have people reserve our fat bikes because we have a very limited number of fat bikes. We have had a large number of people call and ask if they need to reserve skis at the moment, skis or snowshoes. At the moment, we're not doing that. But we are reserving fat bikes. So we already have like some reservations Christmas week, MLK weekend. Those kind of questions and that level of interest has never happened before. So I think that like that's a really good indicator that, you know, we're heading in a potentially busy direction.
What about staffing? If you've got people at the doors, especially if you're running upstairs and downstairs, and you've got retail upstairs, you've got boots upstairs, how are you setting yourself up for what I'm assuming is going to be increased staff, and then also, are you doing anything unique to keep them safe?
I think staffing is going to be a huge problem. I don't think we're going to end up with enough staff at all. We had a number of applications come in pretty quickly once we posted the jobs 3 weeks ago. And I haven't seen a new application now in 2 weeks. So I'm a little concerned that staffing is going to be a massive issue. As far as safety goes, I mean, we're part of a large resort. We have a pretty decent sized HR department. I mean, we've got protocols in place that, you know, when they onboard, they go through a lot of training. We have to do temperature checks daily. They have to go through the questions and answer the questions daily. Those temperatures are recorded and sent to HR every day. I mean, there's a pretty good, and then obviously masks and you know, all that kind of stuff. We've got a pretty good system in place that's resort-wide.
Right. Chris just threw a comment in there. He said at Smugs, they're using signs with QR codes, trailheads for guests to sign in. Has any of the four of you considered something like that, especially if you have multiple trailheads? I think a benefit is it's touchless to you, and you're getting a digital database immediately. Have you guys, anyone done anything like that?
We talked when we had this quick scramble meeting after these guidelines come out. One thing we did talk about potentially doing is getting we've already printed all these season passes, but getting a sticker with a QR code made and having people put the sticker on their pass. And that way they can, for a season pass holder, this ideally would work in that they just, you know, they scan their phone every time they want to go skiing.
Interesting. So looking at, one question before I ask you about what you're concerned about. Right now, Vermont, I think, can allow, 300,000 people in the state that would pass the guidelines. What do you see happening there? I mean, we've got, I don't know how many millions of people within a 5 mile or a 5 hour drive, but right now only 300,000 are actually fit the criteria to enter the state without quarantining.
I mean, if you want to ask me like what my concern for the season is, that's my concern for the season. I think we're really well poised to have a big season. However, if and basically what the state has done is put the onus on the resorts to essentially kind of police this to a certain extent, or at least try to you know, make the states hold their ticket holders and pass holders accountable, make the resorts hold those pass holders accountable. If people start playing by the rules, you know, we have a decent percentage of pass holders that are out of state. Particularly like the Upper Valley area of New Hampshire. But even like Boston, you know, we've got second homeowners up here. We've got people that just day trip up and they get a season pass. If those people play by the rules, I think that that's could be a really big challenge. You know, this could be really interesting to see whether Vermonters can keep Vermont ski areas afloat this winter. I don't know, like being part of a resort, you know, I talk to people daily that I know very well are not playing by the rules. In the lodging industry in Vermont, all you have to do is check a box that says you meet the quarantining criteria. And essentially, that's all they're going to have to do here, but they're going to have to do it every time they come skiing. So, you know, you're basically making these people, they're essentially going to have to lie every time they come skiing, or they're going to play by the rules. So that's definitely a challenge. And then, Reese, I'll throw one more thing quickly back about the staffing. The state guidance also is discouraging and employees from coming in from out of state. At first, this was going to be a no to employees from out of state. And I know that like the Alpine industry kind of fought back on this because a lot of their patrollers are volunteers and from out of state. I mean, right now, I don't think we're going to crack down on this and not hire anybody out of state, but we do have, you know, I've had in the past a number of employees from New Hampshire. So, you know, that could also limit my potential for staffing.
I want to come back to you, Nick, but Richard, you put a comment in here, talked about it, but checking passes was a sticky question. What are you referring to there?
On some of our more remote trail access points, we talked about, let's just put a QR code and have people buy passes. But in patrolling, then you have kind of, a very practical problem of you got to stop somebody who's not displaying a pass and say, hey, pull out your phone. I don't care if it's, 0 degrees and blowing. Pull out your phone and show me that you bought your pass. And we're really trying to, it's easy to enforce if people are paying and displaying. It's very difficult to enforce if people just have a receipt on their phone in their pocket. And so it kind of was, that's kind of where we stop that discussion. It's better for us to have people out patrolling for a whole variety of reasons. But one of those things is you don't want to be stopping people and saying, you don't have a pass. Show me your phone.
And that was a conversation certainly that we had. I think the very first Zoom call that we had was about trail passes. And I know I've had this conversation with many of our skiers, like, how do we do something different than the antiquated ticket and wicket? I see Ellen laughing there. Because that's, we're so old school. But then again, you don't have to have that conversation with someone because you can see their ticket, which is great, and you don't, and we don't, very few of our ski centers do have gates. Nick, going back to you about what other concerns do you have this year, and what contingency plans do you have in place at this point?
I guess a concern would be is if we if the volume of skiers coming through is just simply far greater. We're close to a number of large alpine areas, and if lift lines are huge there, if there's, for a variety of reasons, I could see people wanting to bail on skiing at some of those ski areas. And if we get like literally overwhelmed with people, I don't have a contingency plan for that, and we're going to have to pivot pretty quickly and come up with a solution. I think we'll start to see. We're going to see within the lodging industry whether these restrictions, I think, are going to have any impact on travel as we head into the holidays in early December, and that might start to give us a little indication before we open what things might look like.
Right. I think we've talked about this in our calls really all summer. And that is be prepared for an onslaught and be prepared day one. And I think we're seeing from the calls, as Brittany alluded to, we had 2 inches of snow and people were calling, did you groom? I think Nick, you probably gotten some of those calls because we've had a few snowstorms. Richard, going back to you and contact tracing, how are you handling that? I don't think you address that with your people that are just going through the shop.
I'm really happy I'm not in Vermont. if we had to do that, I don't know how we'd do it, quite honestly. For day tickets and season pass holders with remote trail accesses, season pass holders just go out there. And as of right now, except for organized events, you don't have to do contact tracing. The grocery stores don't have to do it. So if we were in that situation, I could see early retirement as a valid option. But I don't even want to. Okay, now you've got me something else to worry about. Keep me up all night.
Yeah, right, there you go. I think Chris, again from Smugs, when he was talking about those these QR codes, Chris, maybe you could clarify, was that to buy a ticket or was that just to log in for contact tracing to say that you're there? I don't know if Chris can hear me.
Yeah, so we have an RFID system for all of our Alpine and Nordic passes.
that people can reload their tickets online if they've already purchased their RFID card. So at Nordic, it's hard to manage trail access because we don't have so many different points of access. So we don't have RFID gates like we do for getting on the lift. We have we're going to have a test gate that we can use in the Nordic facility for somebody that's staying in the resort that comes down and says, you know, I have a week of lift tickets pre-programmed on my card here. I'd like to go out and use the Nordic trails today. We allow people that have purchased an Alpine ticket for the day to then use our trails. So they're going to scan their pass at that RFID gate, and we can see whether or not they have a valid pass for the day. But season pass holders might be able to bypass the Nordic facility, and then they can check in with that QR code. So we then know who's out on the trails, and then also get an idea of the number of people. We're going to try to encourage everybody to log into that QR code so we can no longer have a paper trail log of who's out on the trails. We can then have it scan it with your phone, and then we know you're out there. But then with the regulations that Vermont's put forward with the contact tracing, it kind of serves dual purpose now.
Right. Got it. Thank you. And Richard, I know at Mountain Dell, you guys have that QR code system for your donations. Is that something that could be easily used, just, you know, retrofitted for any other ski area for contact tracing?
Oh yeah. Our web guru, we have a sign, and people will be able to go up, scan the QR code, and it will take them directly to a payment page on the Utah Nordic website. And it, you know, it's an honor-based system at that trail. We do have, a greeter shack for weekends and holidays and things like that. But we're trying to encourage people to just use that QR code, do a quick purchase, goes through PayPal, PayLink, one of the nonprofit version of PayPal, for that trail, and go out on the snow. And that's an area, you know, it's a trail that's not necessarily patrolled. We sell season passes at that trail and encourage people very much to display them. The season pass is ridiculously inexpensive. And so we're encouraging people to buy their season passes. And if they're like, oh, I don't have the $8, it's like, well, buy it on your phone right now and go. So that is all set up for this winter. It'll be the first time for that. So hopefully it will work out. I mean, every time we've done anything at that trail to kind of encourage good herd activity and, you know, playing along and playing by the rules, we've seen revenues go up on that donation system by, you know, 20-30%.
Right. Nate posted that his average season pass holder's age is 67 years old. They don't really know what QR codes are. So that certainly in our industry, that could be an issue. I will share with you my biggest fear for this winter, and that is that that all of our ski areas are absolutely inundated with people, which is a really good thing, but that we're going to have significant staffing issues with new programs, new reservation systems, et cetera, that are going to prove to be slower than I think many people are originally thinking. So that is my concern. The opportunity is we're going to have many new people. The downside is that we may have difficulty processing them. So this was great, guys. We're at we got 1 minute to go, so I think we'll wrap it up. There were some great comments out there. If we missed your question or comment and you had something you'd like to share, by all means, email me directly and I will add it to the meeting notes. The recording of this will be available on Monday, the usual place on the Kissel industry site. And please remember the fall meeting on Tuesday, November 20th. That is next Tuesday. I think that'll be another opportunity to share a variety of different ideas. And special thanks to our panelists for today, Richard Hodges, Nordic Director from White Pine, Mike Hussey from Middlebury, Brittany Perkins from Crested Butte, and Nick from Woodstock. Thank you all. Let's hope we get some snow soon. And everyone's going to be asking if you're grooming, so get after it. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.